go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, and we pray that you would just help us to continue to walk with you day in and day out till you return, Lord, and then we'll be able to walk with you for eternity, Lord, and we're so grateful for those promises, Lord, and we pray now, Lord, that you would just be with those that are traveling this morning, that you would give them safe travel wherever they're going, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, verse 19, I think that's where we left off, and the Bible says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse before that, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And so the way you know you are of the truth is that you believe God, right? And that you take him at his word. And that if you look in 1 John 5:13, you see these things here. John writes these things. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so the first way to assurance of salvation is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first way. And the second way to assurance is to believe what's written in the Bible, right? Is to believe what's written in the Bible, which I guess you can say that that goes along with the first verse, because in there you're going to find out about Jesus Christ. And the third way to assurance is to do what God says. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18, and hereby we know, right? So there's something that comes with doing the word of God and not just saying that you're doing, speaking in tongue and not in deed, right? And that's doing. Now, this assurance is a fruit. It's a fruit that comes from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing and doing what he says. Another fruit, when you believe on Jesus Christ and believe his words, right, and do what he says, that's another fruit. It's the assurance there is answered to prayer. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you do what the Bible says, another fruit besides assurance is answered prayer, which we're going to see here in a little bit. And another fruit from doing what the Word of God says and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in his words is knowledge of an indwelling Christ. And we're going to see that here in a little bit. And the Bible says that is a mystery. That's a mystery. That's found in Colossians. And we'll go there real quick. Colossians 1:26. Colossians 1:26. The Bible says, verse 25, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that's a fruit that you get when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and when you do what he said, believe his words and do what he says. That's one of the fruit that you're going to get. And so, but in the next couple verses here, in John, 1 John chapter 3, we're going to see that there's two classes of born-again believers here. And those two classes are those that have assurance and those that do not, right? That doesn't mean that they're not believers because they don't have assurance. But there are two classes of believers here. Verse 20, the Bible says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, the Bible talks about the heart as being deceitful. Deceitful above all things, the Bible says. Look, if you would, in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The Bible says there that the heart is desperately wicked. 17:9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Who can know it?
Do you know what's more deceitful than the devil? Your heart. Your heart. It's more. It says right there, the heart is deceitful above all things. Right. That's amazing, isn't it? Your own heart is more deceitful than the devil. And your own heart is more deceitful than false prophets. More deceitful than false prophets. The heart that has not, of a Christian that has not been taught the Word of God, folks, can deceive. It can deceive, and it will. It will deceive. And so here in verse 20, the Bible talks about a Christian here that is characterized as, there's a Christian here that's character, his characteristic is one that heart, whose heart condemns him. It's one whose heart condemns him. First John, there are many Christians this moment, this very moment, actually, sitting in a church somewhere, that are being taught that they have to do things right to stay saved. That's what they're being taught. And again, there's many Christians that are being taught that they have to endure to the end. They have to keep going and not sin anymore after they're saved to the very end of their life, right? And that's a shame. Should we be taught that we don't want to sin to the end of our life? Well, yeah, but I mean, not in order to keep your salvation, right? Not in order to keep your salvation. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. Grace through faith, but people are being taught this, that they have to, in order to stay saved, they have to never sin, And folks, it's a sad shame. But I seen this happen right on a job. My uncle, he just received the gospel. We come from a Catholic background, our family, my mom's side of the family, and just got saved, just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and we're on a job together, right? And here comes this water dog, trying to talk him out of his salvation, that he has to be baptized to be saved. Yeah, that didn't go over too well. I was a little younger then, and we kind of just went at it, you know. Not physically, but in words, I mean, big time. And basically told him, hey, you need to stay away from him because this isn't going to go good for you. But they're being taught that if they sin after they get saved, they lose their salvation. Or they're being taught right off the bat after they're saved that, oh, you got to be baptized to be saved. And so they don't know that they're saved anymore, right? They don't know. And they never receive the blessing of God that God has for them on this earth. Saved people. One of the blessings is assurance of salvation. That's a great blessing for people that have been saved. And they never get that assurance. And folks, that's the devil's work. It is. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ has servants on this earth, so the devil has servants on this earth, right? And just as the Lord Jesus Christ has preachers of righteousness, so the devil has preachers of righteousness. Preachers of unrighteousness who come in dressed up like they're righteous, right? And They come looking like that they're good people and that they're going to teach right things, but inwardly they're ravaging wolves, or as the Bible calls them. And the Bible warns of these men. And so when this happens to a young convert, or when a Christian chooses not to believe the Word of God, right? Their hearts are being set up to be deceived. And some people are set up by others to be deceived, and some people set themselves up to be deceived because they don't believe what the Bible says. And they set themselves to be deceived about the assurance of salvation, right? But here's the beauty of the promises of God, right? The promises of God about salvation. Even if you don't believe anymore, that doesn't make the Word of God of none effect in your life according to salvation, right? It doesn't change the fact that the moment you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you were sealed until the day of redemption, right? God is greater than our deceptive hearts. Even when we're not believing the Word of God, He's still greater. He's still greater. You don't have to reason, folks. You don't have to reason with your heart. And you don't have to reason with your feelings. That's what Satan wants you to do, because he knows what your heart is capable of. And he knows what your flesh is capable of and how it's deceitful. And it'll deceive you. And he uses that. He uses that. That's one of his devices. He uses your heart. He uses your feelings, your flesh, to deceive you. And then that's what Satan wants to do. God wants you to reason with him. That's what he wants. Look, if you would, in Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. God wants you to reason with him. I use this a lot on the streets. When I'm street preaching. But the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Right? Is that what the Bible says? 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Right? That's what he wants. He wants you to reason with him. He wants you to. You can't reason with your feelings. They'll deceive you. And you can't reason with other people. They'll deceive you. You can't reason with your heart, because it will deceive you. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? You can't know your own heart. Only God knows your heart. Here's something you can know, that when you reason with God and his words, you will find out the truth. You'll find out the truth. Why? Because the Bible says God is true. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Right? That's Romans, I think it's Romans 3. Let's look there. What did I got that written down for? Did I miss a spot? Romans 3. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged. Right? Let God be true, and every man a liar. And so, but let's look at what God's word says about this matter of eternal salvation. Right? Let's look at what it says for the born again believer. Look, if you would, in Philippians. Philippians 1:6. 1:6. The Bible says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, okay, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who saved you? Jesus Christ did, didn't he? Who got you born again? Jesus Christ did. Who started you out in this journey, this Christian journey that he starts every believer out the moment they trust in him? Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ does. And so then as you reason with the Lord about this, right, you can be content. You can be confident if you believe the Word of God as it's written here, right? Even as being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, Jesus Christ, he began it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Till the day Jesus Christ comes back, you can be confident that that work that he started in your life, he's going to perform it, right? And you can be confident of those things. And that's reasoning with the Lord here. Reasoning with what he says. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, right? But Jesus, he's not only the author, folks. He's the finisher, right? He's the finisher of our faith. That's found in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. 12, verse 2. Take some time. 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so he's not only the starter, he's the finisher. He's not only the author, he's the finisher, right? He starts it and he finishes it, folks. And that's a great example to look to when you do anything in life. Right? When you start something, finish it. Finish it. The Lord wants you to stop, he'll stop it. And then you don't have to be called a quitter. And that's something, man, my mom would always just be harping on me. Finish what you started and then you can go on to the next thing, right? But there's some things that you have to quit, like sin. That's something that's a good thing to quit, right? Sin. And we all need to learn how to do that. But Paul was persuaded of this idea, of this promise. It's not an idea, it's a promise of eternal life, eternal security. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy. He was persuaded of this, folks. 2 Timothy 1:12. And look at how many books of the Bible he wrote, and look how God used him. And he would be somebody that you could look and see what he wrote and say, that's from God. That's from God. And receive those things. Hey, there's people that received the things that Paul was saying is that they were the words of God. And they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so, right? The Bereans did. But 2 Timothy... Did I say 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? Okay, I'm in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:12. The Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Right? Have you committed the destiny of your soul into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? I have. Have you? And by believing on him? Well, then the Bible says, guess what? Look, if you would, in John. John 10. Once you're in the hands of Jesus, folks, you're not getting plucked out. John 10. John 10. Verse 27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. That's Jesus Christ. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Guess what? If you're in the hands of Jesus, you're in the hands of the Father. Praise the Lord for that. And so you're safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ's hands and the Father's hands. And there's the promise of eternal life right there that shows up right there, folks. Jesus Christ said that. right? And if he's God, which we know he is, based on the scriptures, right? He cannot lie. He cannot lie. And so, folks, you can't keep yourselves in the hands of Jesus. Only Jesus can keep you in his hands, right? And he said he would. He said he would. You can't pluck yourself out of the Lord Jesus' hands, right? Because he said no man can pluck them out of my hand. And so, the promise of eternal life is there. Never perishing is there. And folks, you see, when you walk after the flesh, you will put confidence in you, and you'll put confidence in man, and you'll put confidence in your heart and in your feelings, or in the man of God, right? The man. But when you walk after the Spirit, the Spirit will guide you to the truth of what God says. And when you believe what God says and do it, well then, there's no condemnation. Look, if you would, in Romans 8. There's no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit. 8:1. The Bible says, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Right? First, got to be in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Isn't that something? And so your heart will not be condemning you if you have done these things. And the Bible's very clear about that. But if you start to go off the track, condemnness, you'd be condemned. Your heart's going to condemn you, if not about assurance of salvation, about that you're doing things not according to the Bible, right? There's condemnation for a believer, and it's here on this earth. 1 John chapter 3, verses number 21. Beloved, there's the second class of people. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. We have confidence toward God. And so we see if we do what we're supposed to do, then your heart's not going to condemn you. After you trusted in Jesus Christ, doing the things that you're supposed to do won't keep you saved, folks. You're already saved. We just went through those. You have eternal security, eternal salvation. You have that. Eternal life, you have that. It won't keep you saved. Doing the things you're supposed to do will give you confidence and will give you assurance. And that, my friend, will keep you going. Right? If you got confidence and you got assurance, man, you can keep going. It don't matter who stands in your way. Right? Nobody's going to be able to stand in your way. And so when a Christian does what he's supposed or she's supposed to do after they get saved, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. One with another. 1 John 1:7. A new Christian and all Christians, right? They need to get the Word of God. They need to get in it. They need to believe it. And they need to walk in a way that pleases God. Right? That's what we've been going through. Walking in a way that pleases God in God's sight. And when a child of God does this, when he does this to the best of his abilities, the best way he knows how according to the Word of God, the Lord will work all the other stuff out. He'll work all that other stuff out. But if he stays in fellowship with Christ and he confesses his sins, right? And he's obeying the Word of God, then he'll get the blessings of assurance. And then he can be confident toward God. He can be confident toward God. And having confidence toward God will bring you to the point where you expect God to answer prayers. And that's where we're going. Verses 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so the prerequisite here to getting answered prayer is to do things pleasing in God's sight. And when you're, don't forget, God is looking down. And anything you do, I don't know. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so you're in the sight of God right now. And if you have iniquity in your heart, don't expect God to answer your prayers. It's not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen. Look, if you would, in Psalm 66. You know, you say something like this in some place and somebody don't like, that is the most scariest thing I've ever heard. Right? Who wants to hear about a God that won't answer your prayer? Right? I do, because then I know what not to do so that I can get my prayers answered. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to need them. You're going to need those prayers answered, maybe not for yourself, but for somebody else. Where am I at here? Psalm 66, 18. You know why Jesus had always got his prayers answered? The one prayer that he got it answered, all right? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying about the cup of wrath being, he said, not my will, but thine will be done. So his prayer was answered because it was God's will for him to do that. And his will was lined up with God's will. And so whatever answer he got there was his, right, what he was praying for. And so Psalm 66, 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Right? The Lord will not hear me. And that's God's words. Do you believe it? I do. Now God is a God of mercy, folks. And if you repent and turn from the iniquity that you regarded in your heart, then you can expect to hear you. Why? Why? Because it pleases God's sight for you to confess. It's pleasing in his sight that you confess your sins to him, not to a man. And listen, folks, if you want your prayer to be an abomination to the Lord, then you won't do that. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 28, 9. Proverbs 28, 9. Nobody wants their prayers to be an abomination to the Lord, but yet some people, they just don't know that they are, right? And so that's why God wrote down his words in a book, so we can read them. We don't have to think what this is what he said. We can know what he said. Proverbs 28, 9. The Bible said, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now you say, well, we're not under the law. Really? Folks, we're not under the law as far as salvation's concerned. But there's the whole Bible's the law. And he says to keep my commandments, does he not? And so if you turn away from hearing your ear from the law, guess what? Abomination, your prayers are abomination to the Lord. Abomination. Proverbs 21, 13. Proverbs 21, 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, shall not be heard. What's this whole thing we're talking about here? Loving God, believing in his Son, loving thy neighbor as thyself. Here's a poor person here, right? Okay. And so you don't want to be heard? Turn your ear from a crying poor man, right? That will stop God's ears against your prayers, and he will not hurt you. Why? Because it's not pleasing to God that you do not love your brother, that you do not love those that are in need. And if you did, you'd help them. Yes? We are. But Paul says, this is what we're under grace. By grace are you saved through faith, right? That's salvation. But what about all the other stuff in the Bible? There's more in the Bible than just salvation. There's living, pleasing to God. And so, yeah, you're not under the law for salvation as far as the works of the law, right? But you are under it. We established the law. Paul says that. We established that. And that brings a conviction to other people's lives. And that's how we walk, stay in good graces with God, and we walk with him by obeying what he says. And so let me ask you something. Are you having a hard time getting your prayers answered? Are you believing what God says in James? James. Hebrews, James. James 1. Great book about prayer here. Great verses in here about prayer. And we're almost done, folks. James 1, verses 5. If any of you lack wisdom, okay, do you know what to pray for? Right? Are you praying for the right things? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberty, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay? And so, one of the prerequisites of getting your prayers answered is believing what God said. Do you believe that? Are you asking in faith? What is faith? You know how Moses got his prayers answered? He prayed the word of God back to God. That's how he got his prayers answered. He prayed in faith. And so, having wisdom to pray for what to pray for is something you can ask God for. And know that you're going to get it. Right? Believe that you're going to get it. And let me ask you another question. There could be another reason why that you're not getting your prayers answered. And that could be because you want to consume that upon your own lust. Are you praying for just the things of you and what's going on in your life? Or are you praying for others and what's going on in their lives? You see a lot more prayers answered when you start praying for other people. And it's just an amazing thing. That's found in James 4. Verse 23, we're almost done. Verse 23, 1 John chapter 3, 23, and this is his commandment. Here's a commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And love one another as he gave us commandment. The first commandment for anybody is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because, why? You can't love anybody else, folks. Not without that. You cannot love anybody else. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ loves others through you and through me. Before you're saved, I don't think you can love anybody else. You can't. You don't even love yourself. You don't even love yourself. But if a person obeys this commandment, then in verse 23, he'll obey the next commandment, which is to love his neighbor as himself. The next commandment. Love his neighbor as himself. If he obeys the first one, then he can obey the second one, right? And Jesus sums up all the law in those two commandments. And that's found in Matthew 22, verses 38 through 40. Verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so when a person is loving God, he will be loving his neighbor. Why? Because God is in him. And he is in God. And that brings a person to know that the only reason that they are even able to love anybody else is because God is the one that's doing the loving. How? By the Spirit which he has given us. Right? Amen. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words and thank you for these great blessings that you want to give every believer assurance of salvation, answered prayer, and the knowledge of the mystery of the indwelling Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that's through the Holy Spirit. And we're so grateful for those promises, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that we would just keep these in mind as we walk through our daily life with you, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.